أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، ولعن الله أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. إن لله وإنا إليه راجعون. My heartfelt condolences to Imam of our time, who gets to live Ashura of 61st Hijra, who cries over the holy blood that was spilled on Karbala, has been crying for 14 centuries. I don't know how much would I be able to read, how much would you be able to listen. I'll be directly reading from Ibn Taus's Luhuf, one of the authentic narrations of what transpired on 61st Hijra. We cannot go on to start from when Ali Akbar was martyred. I cannot begin when Imam Hussein had to rush towards Qasim. I'm going to skip how Imam felt when Abbas was encircled and killed by the wretched army. I'm just going to be reading the Valor fight that was displayed by Imam Hussein, person who was almost 60 years old and been picking up bodies from the morning, who had lost his brother. Brother like Abbas, who had lost the son like Ali Akbar, who had lost the son, an infant like Ali Asghar. It is narrated that after Ali Asghar was mercilessly martyred, at the response of the request made by Imam Hussein to quench the thirst of the infant, the merciless army had shown no mercy towards him and killed the 6-month-old Ali Asghar. The narrator states, Hussein then challenged the army to come and fight him. Then whoever came forward to confront him was sent to hell by Hussein's head. It continued until he killed many of them. At this point, Imam Hussein said, martyrdom is better than accepting disgrace, and humiliation is better than burning in hellfire. Imam Hussein, up until this point, is reminding them that this mortal world is not what they're after. At the end, we all have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the narrators says, Imam Hussein said, by Allah, the narrator mentions that, by Allah, I've never seen a man who had lost his family member, companions, and bearing the sorrow of all calamities, yet showing so much courage and bravery on the battlefield. This was Imam Hussein. Sometimes he attacked the crowded army of the enemy and scattered them. Then the Imam would return to his main place and would say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Till the time this slogan was being heard, the women folk were knew that Imam Hussein was still alive. He would attack them, he would come back to the dead, he would attack them, he would come back to the dead as if he knew. And he didn't know what was going to happen to the women folk after the martyrdom. The Imam fought continuously till the time enemy came between him and women folk and separated them. Oh, how must Imam Hussein feel? The Imam shouted at them, What do you, all followers of the family of Abu Sufyan, if you have no religion and do not fear the hereafter and resurrection, then at least be free and noble in your world. And if you are Arabs, then return to your race and good behavior. This is how low they had stooped. They had violated not only their religious laws, but also the laws of the battle. Imam Hussein reminded them, it was between me and you. Leave the woman folk alone. Jimmer yelled at this point, What are you talking about? Hussein replied, I say I'm fighting you and you're fighting me. And it is no fault of the woman, so until I'm alive, these rebels and unwise people should not disturb my family. You hear the desperation in Imam Hussein's voice. He is trying his level best to protect his family, to protect the sanctity of his family, to protect the hijab of his family. Then the enemies began to attack on him, and he continued fighting in the meanwhile. He wanted to get some water but could not get to it until he suffered, according to the narration, 72 wounds and injuries. It was not the wounds that got him up, Hussein. It was not the blows that he had faced, that his body had faced, that caused him Imam Hussein for martyrdom. It was the thirst, the Imam, after fighting severely and fiercely against the enemies. He could not take it anymore, the heat, the dehydration. The thirst of 3 days, Imam Hussein, at that time, halted for a moment while he was taking a rest. Then a poisoned trident arrow pierced his blessed chest. This is again Imam. Imam is still conscious and he's still fighting fearlessly. Moving forward, the chain of events that I'm going to be reading to you, they are going to be not in the chronological order, but this is something for us to know, that just to get a fraction of the idea what Imam Hussein went through. As soon as the as soon as Imam halted for a moment, while he was trying to buy some time to breathe and fight off his thirst, it was that moment when a wretched person picked up the stone and threw the stone on Imam Hussein's holy head. Imam Hussein had been defending himself from the arrows and the spears. But this is, according to a scholar, Imam Hussein was not killed by the warriors with sword, but the wretched people who could not afford to buy sword. They still had come to the battlefield to find Imam Hussein. And he was basically killed by the people who were throwing rocks at him. Imam Hussein's holy head started bleeding as soon as the stone hit him in his head. As Imam Hussein was trying to cover the blood, as Imam Hussein was trying to stop the blood, this is when Imam Hussein's chest was open for the enemies to attack. And this is when Harbala, may Allah's curse be upon him, they shot the dreaded arrow on Imam Hussein. His chest, piercing his holy chest, the chest, the very chest that Prophet used to kill. As soon as the trident arrow hit Imam Hussein's chest, Imam Hussein said, "In the name of Allah, by Allah, and according to the religion of the Messenger, Imam raised his blessed head towards the sky and said, "Oh Allah, you know that these people are killing a man who is the only son of the daughter of your Prophet on the surface of the earth." Then he fetched out the arrow from his back and blood gushed through the wound like a drain pipe, depriving Imam from his battling strength. Every person from the enemy camp who approached the wounded Imam to kill him turned back, fearing that he would have to meet Allah as a partner in crime in the killing of Imam. Then a man from Kandahar named Malik bin Nasr, may Allah's curse be upon him, came and uttered bad words. Imam was facing all kinds of atrocities, physical atrocities and verbal atrocities. At times, the verbal atrocities are much more painful than the physical ones. And he hit the Imam's blessed head with his sword. It cut the top of the helmet, reaching the skull. The helmet overflowed with the holy blood. The narrator says Hussein called for a robe and bowed his head with it. After a short pause, the enemies returned to Imam and encircled him. At the time, Abdullah ibn Hassan ibn Ali, who was about 12 years old, came from the camp of the woman and rushed towards Imam. Imam laid his hand up and to stop him, but he forcefully refused to turn and said, "By Allah, I will not leave my uncle." Bahar ibn Ka'ab or Harbala, either one of those two, advanced towards Imam with a sword in hand. Abdullah said, "Woe unto you, the offspring of malicious men! Are you killing my uncle?" The teenager shielded Imam from the stroke of the sword whereby his hands was cut and began to dangle. Abdullah cried, "Oh, uncle!" Hussein took hold of his nephew and drew him to his chest, saying, "O son of my brother, bear patiently what you have suffered and consider it good, because Allah will make you meet your pious forefathers." This was the son of Imam Hassan. After Qasim, it was Abdullah who sacrificed his life for the Imam. Harbala threw an arrow at Abdullah and martyred him by the side of his uncle. How hard must have been his pain and his suffering, even after receiving blows, even after being so close to the martyrdom. He kept receiving these emotional blows by the enemies, seeing your nephew who had come out to protect you to be dying in your last moment. Therefore, Shimonim Nizil Joshim attacked the tents of Imam Hussein, saying, give me fire so that I may burn down these tents with all the infants, with all the women folk inside of them. They wanted to burn them alive. Hussein said, O son of Nizil Joshim, you're demanding fire to burn my family. May Allah burn you in the fire. Then came Shabbat, whom Imam had advised. So he returned ashamedly. This is when this Shabbat had come to cut off Imam Hussein's hand. Imam reminded him that, do you not have any more wretched person who would come and do this ugly act? And not to, even at this time, Imam is concerned about this person's hereafter. Even though this person has already committed a grave crime. But Imam Hussein still wants him to save him for whatever capacity. And saying that, do not get involved in cutting off my head. Then Hussein asked his family, give me an old cloth so that I may wear it as a then they may not uncover my body. Then he took an old cloth, made some tears in it, and wore it beneath his dress, but this tripped him after his martyrdom. And that cloth looted too. I am not able to read the part. I don't have the strength to read the part of what else did they loot. Or I should say, what else did they leave on Imam's holy body? This is the grandson of Prophet. This is a moment. People are coming and performing all kinds of atrocities just so that they can get some reward from Ibn Ziyad, from Yasin. When many wounds were inflicted on the holy body of Imam Hussein, and his body became like a porcupine, a mean-minded person named Salim bin Wahab inflicted a forceful hit on the flank of Imam Hussein, which made Imam Hussein fall on the right side from his horse. And then he stood on his feet. The narrator said, at this point, Zainab came out of the tent and yelled, oh my brother, oh my leader, oh my household, I wish the sky had fallen down on earth. I wish the mountains had come down to the plains and scattered. Shimmer cried out to his soldier, what are you waiting for? Thereafter, they attacked him up from every side. This person, Zarad ibn Shurayk, inflicted a wound on the left shoulder of Imam. And another person came on the back of Imam, which caused Imam to fall down on earth and long. After he sat up with much difficulty and again fell on earth and rose up and walked. Then over here at this time, Sinan inflicted a wound with his spears on the cavity of Imam's pharynx, Imam's neck, and then pierced his spear in the chest. Thereafter, if the spear was not enough, the same Sinan pierced an arrow in Imam's neck. He fell again and sat up and pulled out the arrow from his blessed neck. But thereafter, he caught the lower part of his neck with both of his palms, which were filled with the holy blood. He colored his head and beard with it and said, I am going to my God with such a hair dye while my rights have been violated. Umar ibn Sa'd told a man who was on his right, what do you come down and relieve Hussein? This is a time. This is our time. This is the moment when people, the most wretched of the person, is going to come and relieve Imam Hussein according to Zad, the word of Zad. Relieving Imam Hussein over here means to cut off his holy head. It is written, Holy came forward to cut off the head of Imam Hussein, but began to tremble. Sinan came down and he struck his sword on the holy throat, saying, "My Allah, I'm cutting your neck, despite knowing that you are the son of the Allah's Prophet, and by the best of spring from the viewpoint of parents." Then he cut off Imam Hussein's head. It has been quoted from Imam Sadiq after Hussein's martyrdom. Angels wept and cried and arrived. They said, "Oh Lord, this is your Hussein, the chosen son of your messenger's daughter." This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displayed them the shadow of Imam of our time and said, "I will take his revenge. I'll take the revenge of Hussein by his head." For Allah, Ibn Thari. It has been narrated. Then a severe storm blew. The sky was covered with red colors, making everything invisible. And people feared the divine wrath. This is where Imam, the woman's family, while Imam Hussein's head is being cut, Lady's Adam is watching. She is watching her brother's head, her brother's holy head to be cut off, to be beheaded. It has been narrated, there were some observers that said, they had not seen the face more illuminating than it was covered with blood than the face of Imam Hussein. It has been narrated from Imam Sadiq that there were more than 100 wounds on Imam Hussein's body. And Imam Sadiq has also described there were 33 wounds of his spear and 34 wounds of sword on the holy body of Imam Hussein. They started looting everything that Imam Hussein had on his body. They looted everything and left the body. They did not even leave the ring on his finger. When the wretched person could not take the ring out, he thought that he had no other option but to cut off the finger of his head just to take out the ring. How wretched these people were! It was after that Umar ibn Sa'd made the announcement, who would be the people who would trample over the holy body, who would stampede the holy body with the horse's hooves. 10 people came forward, and this is the time. Everyone from the family of Prophet are watching. Everyone is watching this moment. The horse's eyes and the body of Imam Hussein, they went back, they went forth, they went back, they went came forth, breaking the ribs and the bones of Imam Hussein's holy body. La Allah, qom al-thalimin.
As-salamu. على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين.